Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And now, put your hands, claws, tentacles, and paws together for John 5 and the Creatures!
Cobras and Fire Podcast, part of the Decibel Geek Podcast Network, featuring special guest, Rob Zombie guitarist, John Five.
With that, I'd like to welcome to the program John Five, guitarist in the Rob Zombie Band. You're a solo artist. You've been with tons of other super interesting acts. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, all right. You know, one thing I wanted to kick off with, I just found out, actually prepping for this interview, that the Knights and Satan Service Instagram page, which I've been following for at least a few months, is yours.
That's right. It is mine. And it's funny, I started it January 1st, 2018. So okay. Right when, you know, that New Year's Day, and I had this plan to do this, and I just was like, you know, I had this big plan, and every day, it doesn't matter where I am in the world, every day, I will post something. So that means when I go on tour, I have to calculate how long I'm going to be gone. I have to take all the pictures and stuff. But it's a really fun hobby, and it also gives people like yourself like a little, you know, blast from the past. You might have said, oh, I had this when I was a kid, or I remember this. And that's what it's all about. It's about, you know, fun and nostalgia and things like that, and people really enjoy it.
How long have you been, this is your personal collection, correct?
Yes.
How long you been doing that?
Forever, as long as I can remember. But you know, it's fun. It's just something fun, and you know, gives a little education on things too. Like, oh, did you know there's two of these, or different mm-hmm. colors of these, or you know, the Kiss dolls they made in Montreal and French, and you know, things like that. Just fun things like that.
It really is. I mean, it's amazing. You have some really obscure stuff on there. I got into Kiss in 1977. I think I actually started collecting, I don't know, once I basically had time and money. And the first thing I had to do was get all the albums, you know what I mean? Get good copies with all the inserts and you know, chasing that down. It was a lot of fun to do over the years, and I thought I had a pretty decent collection, you know, but you have some. I mean, just recently you were kind of going through all these promo things that it's like, where do you even get this stuff?
You know, it's through people and friends and eBay and things like that. It's hard, but it makes it fun because it's the thrill of the hunt, like the old saying goes. It really is the thrill of the hunt, and you get so excited when something like this comes up.
A decent amount of stuff is from Australia too. Did you like do a tour down there and hit up a bunch of antique stores or something?
Well, what's funny about that, Kiss was massive in Australia in 1980. Huge. And they were kind of veering off a little bit here in America, so they went to Australia where they were just completely massive, and they released so much merchandise in 1980. I mean, everything. Beach towels and you know, masks and you know, marionettes and all this stuff. And it was so interesting. Like, they just flooded the market at that time.
But how do you get your hands on it? I mean, is that just back to the eBay thing? Or were you actually down there shopping? Or
no, eBay. Sometimes when I'm there, I'll pick stuff up. Yeah, and it's so cool. You know, I really, really enjoy it. And it's a fun hobby because I work so hard. I work so, so, so hard. And it's just a fun hobby. And that's why people have hobbies. It's very important to have a hobby if you can find one you really enjoy, because it does relieve a lot of stress.
Mm. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't have much of a disagreement there, being that I've wasted a lot of my time and, well, I wouldn't say wasted, but time and money, you know, chasing down certain items with Kiss. What's your favorite item? Yeah, do you have anything or a couple that really stick out for you?
Well, they made some underwear in Australia that is so rare. I mean, it's just really super rare. That might be, or they also made these shorts here in America, in JCPenney. They did a line with this clothing company called Image, and they released all this these kids' clothes in 1978. And the shorts are one of the rarest pieces. So you'll see it. It's up on my...
Yeah, I saw that one on the Instagram page recently.
Yeah, just unbelievably rare. So it's fun.
How big of, I mean, have you basically, did you get into Kiss back then, I assume?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely, 100%.
Do you still have stuff from, like, when you were a kid?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, my parents suck. They mean, basically, I don't have it because of them.
Yeah. A lot of people have that same story, but, yeah. You know, it's out there. It's definitely out there.
Yeah. What about, what don't you have? Anything you've been chasing?
Oh, there's tons. Yeah, there's tons. I mean, they did so much. So, there's a lot.
Have you ever been in Gene's little room that I've seen on Family Jewels? Like,
oh yeah, it's not little either. It's a very large room. So, oh yeah, I've been there a bunch of times. He's got, of course, great stuff.
Yeah. Well, do you have, like, how is your collection? Do you have, like, a Kiss room set up, or is it just kind of boxed, or?
I do. I have this office, but, you know, it's, it's gonna be, I have to move it all. I have this really large garage.
Okay.
And, you know, clearing out the garage, that's not a big deal, you know, because I need the space, you know, I need the space. But the hard part is the temperature control. You have to keep it a certain temperature or there's going to be problems with this stuff. So I need to, you know, most garages, some are insulated, some are not.
Right.
Mine is not. So I have to insulate it and I have to have this whole system put in, you know, because, you know, I have to do it because I don't have space for the other stuff. And I don't want to put it in other parts of the house, obviously, but I have it in one room right now, but I am eventually moving it to the garage and making it really super nice.
You've played on both Paul and Ace albums. Do you consider yourself part of your Kiss collection?
No, it's just you know, they're my buddies, and I'm really close with Peter. I talk to Peter, you know, a couple times a week, and I talk to Ace, you know, about once a week, and so you know, it's they're buddies, you know, they're just really, they're good friends. And sometimes I forget, you know, oh yeah, these are the guys from Kiss, you know, but because they're just friends, you know.
Yeah, it's got to be mind-blowing to a certain extent, how to think back.
And, yeah, I just tell them, don't go in this room. They'll think I'm like some kind of, like, you know, serial killer, and I'll lock them in there or something.
Do you have any of their images tattooed on you anywhere?
No, okay. no, no.
that might be a little off-putting, but well, you know, we do have listeners that are Kiss fans. I know we've done some Kiss-related episodes, so yeah, the it's an Instagram page called Knights in Satan's Service. It's really easy to find, and honestly, if you're a collector of any interest, it's going to blow your mind. Some really cool stuff. So
it's funny because there's so many people that have these kind of, you know, that have these collective soul, like Kirk Hammett. He loves all the monster stuff, and you know, there's so many people that really love collecting a certain thing, and I think it's just such a great thing, and it's a great hobby to have. It's fun.
Yeah, right on. Well, good for you, and thank you for sharing.
Absolutely.
You mind if I touch on some of the other artists? I know you got a new record coming out. We'll get into that for sure, but you just had such a fascinating career. Is it okay if I ask about some of the people you've had a chance to work with?
Absolutely, of course.
Well, David LaRoth has got to be one of the most, I don't know. I mean, he's just an icon.
Yeah.
But when you got to work with him, it was, you know, towards the later period of his career. I guess my biggest, you know, question, at least something I'd be interested to know, I mean, is David LaRoth David LaRoth 24/7? He just seems like that kind of guy.
No. Dave is, he's super smart, super on top of it. You know, he'll tell jokes. He's got a great sense of humor. But he doesn't let anything slide. He's on top of everything and very, very intuitive, super, super smart. He loves just reading anything he can get his hands on. He loves education, and that's what's great about it.
As far as working with him as a musician, how musical is he? Does he know a lot of different instruments? What's it like basically sitting down with him and he's like, I have an idea for a track?
He knows what he wants before it even happens. He is like, we'll sit down and he'll say, I want something like this, that, and the other thing. But how can I explain it? He'll like just explain it to me, but he knows how to play guitar and let's see, it's very hard to explain how we'll go about it, but he'll say, give me something like this, maybe a little Doobie Brothers or a little Steely Dan. But he doesn't like things basic, if you will. He doesn't like things cookie cutter or things like that. He doesn't like me just using regular chords. He'll like me to use, you know, things like that, you know. He'll like it a little out of the ordinary.
He had to give you some life advice over the time working with him.
Oh, my God, all the time. Yeah, dude, I've learned so much from Dave, you know, and he's super knowledgeable. I mean, he's been doing this since, you know, 77, and he's been famous since probably 78, and he knows the road. He's paved it, you know, so he's definitely an inspiring person, that's for sure.
Did you come in, what year was it, like 98, if I have that right?
I think I was, yeah, like right around there, 97, 98, yeah.
Do you have any insight as to, like, through him, that of what was going on with Van Halen at the time? Because there was, like, a little bit of back and forth. We actually just talked about on the show that period of Van Halen that, you know, he, you know, Sammy was out, he was kind of going to be in, and then, you know, next thing we know, it's Gary Cherone. Did you have any insight to that, or was this after, or was that before you would have been involved?
Well, no, I was around Dave all the time. So it was around the Van Halen 3, I think, album.
Okay, yeah.
And we just kind of wanted to make a kick-ass heavy rock record, kind of like the old Van Halen. He always described, he said, because we did our record live, and he said, we're going to do it just like, you know, Van Halen did back in the day. We're going to do it live. And he wanted everything like that, you know, just really live sounding and not a lot of overdubs, and just, you know, hit it hard in the studio like that, which was really cool.
Well, another icon you worked with is Rob Halford on a record that I actually adore quite a bit. And that's the two Voyeurs album.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. People love that record. But here's the thing. Like I've said before, there's a rock, like, guitar version of that record. You know, there's a lot of that is keyboard and stuff like that. And there was Trent Reznor and was helping out with that record. But they took a lot of the guitars out. But there is a guitar record out there, a guitar version of Voyeur's. But here's the thing about that record. You cannot, like, a good song is a good song.
Right.
It doesn't matter what instruments are on there. And that is a really great record, and I'm super proud of it.
Yeah, it didn't get a real strong shake, but I still listen to it from time to time. I actually was, I don't know how much touring you guys did. I saw you in Somerset, Wisconsin at a radio festival on Memorial Weekend.
Yeah, a lot of people saw that show.
Yeah, there was like 25,000 of us there, I think.
That's
so you
awesome.
You remember it?
Oh, of course. Yeah, that was a great, great show. That was a great show, and it was an awesome time.
Did you see me? I was over on the right side waving the entire time.
I thought that was you when you called.
Your voice sounds familiar. I can hear your hands waving.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it was great. Yeah, you guys did like a quick 40-minute set like everybody that day for the most part. You know, weather was decent. I don't know what to say. I was it meant to be short-lived, or was there like, was it just going to be, let's just try this and see what happens?
We were rocking. Everything was going great. We're killing it. And then I think I messed it up. I think I joined Marilyn Manson. And
okay.
And that's how that all went going on. You know, I just I joined Manson, and then that was it. I became John 5, if you will.
Sure. Yeah. Now, did he coin the name, or?
Yeah, actually, he did. He said, I'm going to do everything with numbers, and your name's going to be John 5. And I was like, awesome. You know, so yeah, he coined the name, and I kept it, and I love the name. And, you know, we did that last tour the last summer, the Twins of Evil. So it was great to reconnect with him. I saw him every day.
Yeah.
Know?
Okay. So yeah. No bad blood. If I recall right, it wasn't exactly the cleanest of breaks between the two of you.
No, it was fine.
Okay.
You know, it was no bad blood at all. I mean, we've been friends forever. It's funny. Just people see that, the bad stuff, but yeah, that only lasted a little while. Yeah, there was no, we've been friends forever.
You're sober, right? I mean, you never really did drink or did drugs.
No, I never did anything.
Was it, Manson has, and his band had a reputation that was the opposite of that. Was that difficult at all? Or have you been in situations being in bands? Cause that stuff's around. Is it hard if you're around a lot of it?
No, it's not hard. Like, it's just, you know, you choose not to do it. Just like if you, you know, don't like eating a certain food or doing something, you know, you just don't do it. You know, it's,
yeah. But if somebody likes McDonald's and you don't, that they're not going to knock on your door at 3 a.m. and want to talk.
Yeah, no.
It's a little different.
It's not. I've never had a problem.
Okay. It, you know? Well, I'm just, sometimes being the sober guy around drunks can be a little annoying. Is all I was going for there, but.
Yeah, no, it was New Year's Eve every night, you know?
And okay.
You don't have to be wasted. You could still be at the New Year's Eve party.
All right, I can live with that one. What about Paul Stanley? How much work did you do with him on the Live to Win, on the record?
Just, you know, I did a few songs, and, you know, I've known Paul for a long time, and great songwriter, great everything. I mean, that's, you know, one of my heroes.
Yeah.
So it was weird. And, you know, I was writing with him and playing guitar and doing all this stuff. But what was so weird that I remember so vividly, and I don't know why, is that we were doing, like, you know, after you do a song, you do like little overdub, like, uh-huh. You know, hand claps or shakers or something like that. And I was doing that with him around the mic, and I was like, whoa, this is so weird. But I don't know why I remember that so vividly. And so many other rad things were happening, like guitar solos and this, and, you know, but yeah, we were doing like little hand claps and and little production stuff, and I was like, oh, this is so rad.
that record is really good, I think.
It's a great record. Paul's a great songwriter. He's wonderful.
Yeah. Now, I'll ask you this kind of as a Kiss fan. I saw that tour, and I thought it was amazing. And just for my preference, I would have rather seen more of that than to go see Kiss live again. Now, I'd seen Kiss, you know, plenty of times by that point in my life, so it's easy for me to say I've got my Kiss. I'd rather see kind of Paul go out with a great band and dig deep and, you know, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Paul has done plenty of tours like that. Mm-hmm. He did this great tour in 89, this phenomenal tour where he did his solo records, some other Kiss songs. He's done a bunch of really cool stuff. He's doing his Soul Station thing, mm-hmm. and he toured his Live to Win record. So he's done quite a bit.
Yeah, but for my money, I would have liked to seen more. Like, do another record and tour again. You know, I would have liked to seen Gene do stuff like that, too. Although Gene just kind of fired up a solo tour, which I think appeased a lot of us.
Yeah, well, you know, who knows what will happen. And nobody can predict the future. But, you know, those guys are musicians and they're artists. So, you know, I think who knows what will happen.
Sure. All right. Well, you've been with Rob for quite a long time. How did you initially get hooked up with him?
I was, we were doing this benefit for the tsunami survivors and victims. And Dave Navarro said, well, here's who's going to play at the benefit. And I said, I would love to play with Rob Zombie. I'm such a huge fan. And so he made that happen. And I said, hey, if you ever need a guitar player, let me know. And one thing led to another, and I've been in the band since 2005.
Yeah, I mean, and he's got a new record coming out as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, we just finished, and it's mixed, mastered, and ready to go. I don't know when it's going to come out, but it's a heavy, zombie, hooky, you know, great Rob Zombie record, which I'm a fan of. You know, I'm a fan of Rob Zombie before I got in the band, and this record is really, really great. It's heavy and it's hooky and it's got all the elements to a badass zombie record.
Killer. Yeah, I actually, in that same place I saw too, I just saw you and Rob Zombie. I want to say maybe two summers ago at Northern Invasion.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you guys are great. John That's Five right. Invasion, you have, that's the name of the new album coming out. Is there a release date yet?
July.
Okay. You're kind of, are real quick, any concerns that Vinnie Vincent's going to sue you for calling it Invasion?
I don't know. Is there Vinnie Vincent Invasion? Well,
he likes to sue people.
There's a lot of invasions out there.
No, I so know. Yeah, I don't think you can sue over a title anyway. But that was just a joke. No, you got the video for Zoinks out, and it's kind of a, I don't know. It's a really cool video. People should check it out if they haven't. My understanding is that you're going to be teasing quite a few of the video leading up to the album release. Is that right?
Yes, I have another video coming out on the 1st of February called Crank It. And it's kind of goes into another song called Living with Ghosts. And it's completely different from Zoinks. It's like an acid trip and really crazy, real decadent and, you know, boobs and guitar solos, acid and all sort of weird, cool stuff. So it's a trip, and that comes out February 1st.
Is everything's instrumental is kind of the norm?
Yes. I did take a little line from my Apple Translate. You know, if you type in a word, it will say it back, and it said crank it. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And so I put that line in the song. So it just goes, crank it, you know, but it's from the Apple, from my laptop. It's really cool.
Do you have your own little studio recording, or how do you put it all together?
I don't, because I would be always in the studio, so, because I'm always playing guitar. I was just playing guitar before I picked up the phone with you. So if I had a studio in my house, it would be really, really bad. I don't think I would leave it. So I made it a point not to. So I just go to the studio.
Okay.
So makes it easier.
Is there one you like, or just wherever you're at?
I am addicted to this place called the Riot House, and it's my producer's place, Barry Pointer, and it's called the Riot House, and it's awesome, and it's in North Hollywood. It's just a killer place. It's comfortable, and it sounds amazing.
Do you basically have the album written before you go in, or do you kind of piece it together as you go?
I have, like, I'd say, like, 80% of it. So it's in my head, 80% of it, but I haven't recorded anything. So what I'll do is I'll go song by song, and like a fighter, I'll train and be totally prepared when I go in the studio. So I just only do a couple takes.
How long? Well, I got a question about your musical style a little bit. You started playing, I assume, very young.
Yeah, it's 7.
Oh, jeez. How was it hard finding a guitar to fit your hands?
actually, yeah. My left hand is actually a lot larger than my right hand.
Huh.
It's very weird because I would stretch the palm of my hand so much. It's not really your fingers that stretch. It's your palm, and my palm is way larger than my hand is way larger than my right hand.
Well, that's kind of fortuitous.
It's weird, right?
Yeah. You know, a lot of guys can get really good, but they have it's developing their own sound that kind of gets to be hard. When do you think you kind of, basically, it was clear that you kind of had your own thing going, as, you know, because you're an amazing guitar player, but yet at the same time, when I hear you're playing, I can tell it's you.
Yeah, I think that's the cool thing about things is you have to, like, I remember I would read interviews with guitar players, and they would always say, you have to have your own style. You have to have your own style, your own style. And I never really understood. And I just, but later in the years, I understood what that meant. So it was, you know, it just happens kind of. It's really hard to explain. It's like trying to describe the color blue or something like that. You know, it just kind of happens, your own sound and your own style.
But it was clear to you at a certain point, like, I've kind of hit that point now?
I hope so, yeah. I don't, you know, I just do what I do. I love doing country stuff. I love playing crazy guitar, and I hope people enjoy it.
Yeah, the weird thing is I've actually, you know, heard a decent number of interviews with you over the years, and your playing almost sounds like your personality to a certain extent. I don't know that I would describe other players that way. I don't know if that sounds like a compliment or not, but it was intended as one.
Well, thank you.
you're very colorful, you know what I mean? And you have a lot of interests, and you're positive, and that kind of comes across in your music.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I just love to, I love playing. I don't do it for anything else except for the love of the music and the love of the guitar.
Who would have been the first band to get you into music then?
I would say it was a TV show. It was that Hee Haw show.
That's weird.
That was probably the very first thing that got me into it.
You know, Jakey Lee told me almost the same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I talked to him just after Roy Clark died, and he brought up Roy Clark as one of the guys that, like, got him kind of going.
Yeah, that's what got me going was Hee Haw. That's so cool.
Yeah,
that's really, that's awesome. I didn't know that. Yeah, because that was my whole world. You know, TV was everything for me. Yeah, really cool.
That doesn't surprise me too much. Let's talk about the new record, though. What besides Zoinks, the other song you mentioned, what kind of stuff can we expect when it comes out?
Oh my God, it's totally insane. It's like it's a little bit of everything. There's heavy rock, there's hardcore bluegrass, there is, you know, there's a mandolin song, it's just mandolin. Hmm. And there is kind of like a, you know, like what DJs do, like that, you know, when you go to a rave or something, there's that kind of music too, but like shredding guitars. And I try to do everything super pooky and things like that, make it interesting for people. So it's by far my favorite record. I can't wait for people to hear it. And the next video after this one, February 1st, which will be March 1st, will be a part two of Zoinks. That is another animated video. And my animator is incredible. He does the animation for Frozen and Wreck-It Ralph and stuff at Disney.
Wow. How did that connection come about?
He reached out to me. You know, he was like, hey, I'm a big fan. I work at Disney, and I just wanted to say, you know, big fan, all this stuff. And I was like, wait a minute. I always wanted to do a Scooby-Doo-esque type video. And he was like, well, I'm your guy. You know, that's what I do. I animate. So it was a great connection. So whenever people come up to me and they talk to me and they say, hey, you know, I do this or do that, I always listen. You know, I'll put you to work.
Oh, amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of gear do you, I mean, you must have a ton of gear. I mean, you use so many different shapes and colors in your sound for your guitar. Do you have like just almost everything out there and pull it when you need it?
I have a lot of stuff, but I try not to use too many effects. I just try to keep it guitar and amp, because I never want to be in a situation where I can't just jump on stage and play. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be like, oh, I need this amp, or I need that amp, or I need this pedal, or I need that pedal. I just want to be able to just jump on stage wherever, whenever, and just know I'm going to be okay. You know, I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah. So I don't really have, I try not to use that many effects. And so, you know, because I don't want to be limited. I just want to try to do everything with my hands.
That's cool. There's an extensive list of tour dates out that you can find on your website. What can we expect if we make it out to one of your shows with John 5 and the Creatures, right?
Oh, my God. It's definitely something you'll never see before. It's kind of like just like an instrumental Alice Cooper show. There's monsters that come out. It takes you through all sorts of different kinds of music. So many different things are happening, and it's so exciting. It's just really an exciting show. People love it, you know, I'm so happy that people love it, because it is a hard sell. It's instrumental music. Mm-hmm. It's a tough sell, but people really enjoy it, thank God.
And it's all John 5 solo music, or do you throw anything else in there?
We do a very long medley, like it's something like 30 something riffs or something like that. And it's like 10 minutes of music, and it's so difficult. I mean, to remember everything, it's really cool. It's like an instrumental version of Beat It or Enter Sandman or something like
sure.
that. So it's a lot of fun.
Did you happen to see that Dave Grohl project play and how that was put together?
Which one?
It's a Dave Grohl solo. He just called it Play, and it's like a 24-minute instrumental that he recorded every instrument in one take, is my understanding. And he used three drum kits, and like, yeah, so he had to remember the drums, and he'd go from one kit to another. He wrote the song, so it had like this little kind of extended break where he could hop from one song to the one kit to the other.
Yeah, cool.
There's a video of it if you want. I mean, if you're interested in it anyway, it's kind of in the vein of what you're talking about, you know, where it's just 24 minutes of just changes. So.
Oh man, I'll check that out. It's probably on YouTube.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, well, with that, John, anything else you'd like to plug before I let you go here?
That's it. Just check out the upcoming album and tour. The tour is going to be, you know, we're going everywhere. So
yeah.
Just check the tour dates and, you know, come watch a show.
And I saw Zombies already announced for a bunch of festivals this summer, so you'll be out doing that again?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, John, it's been a pleasure. I'm a big fan. It's always cool to talk to a Kiss collector, too, because I can nerd out a little bit. I probably could have gone a lot further on that, but maybe for the listeners' benefit, I didn't.
No, it's wonderful. And yeah, check out that Instagram. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. If you're a Kiss fan and you're not looking at that, you're missing out. So.
Well, right. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, best of luck with the record, and thanks for joining the show.
Take care. I'm in LA.
All right, on. Yeah, I'm in Minnesota, if it matters to you at all.
You know, I've been all over the world, but I really think the coldest place on Earth is there. It's so cold there, dude. It's ridiculous.
Come on.
With classes in crisis communication, influence, and data presentation, Gonzaga University's online Master's in Communication and Leadership equips you with the tools you need to communicate clearly and encourage creativity in any industry. Concentrations in digital media, strategic communication, and global leadership allow you to customize your degree. Visit gonzaga.edu/communication and learn why a master's degree from Gonzaga can help you take your career to the next level. That's gonzaga.edu/communication.
The Premier League soccer season is heating up. Turn to Betting Weekly English Premier League on the Bet Rivers Network for the best bets and analysis for this week's features. Subscribe to Betting Weekly Premier League today, wherever you get your podcast. If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.